Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Kachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans. Quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Whether you're craving that coffee taste to kickstart your morning ritual or as a nutrient-packed reward to round out your afternoon, Kachava keeps you fueled and satisfied wherever your day takes you. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. And for the times you feel like switching it up, you've got 7 flavors to choose from, all with the highest quality ingredients. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's kachava.com, code FITNESS.
Today on Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Finish this sentence. The truth within the lie is.
The truth was. The medicine was killing me, but I had told myself the medicine is saving me, and that was the lie. And I had 17 forms of staph in my legs. I probably would have lost my legs. I was literally dying. I needed external safety. For me, that was my husband. He lost his medical license. He went through a sexual assault trial.
How did you survive through that?
Well, I would sit and I would teach, and then I would crawl out of my chair and lay on my floor and fall apart. 95% of our subconscious is running the show. Your subconscious is saying, and your ego saying, I don't know that over there. Let me protect you. Brené Brown said something brilliant recently. She said, it's not the fear that stops us. It's the armor that we keep picking back up and putting back on.
Everyone has a lie. Everyone is telling themselves something negative, and we're all the same in that way. Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. What happens when the life you've built starts to feel like a performance? When you realize you spent years playing small, following rules that were never yours, and dimming your own light so others could feel comfortable. Dana Grant knows that moment intimately. She calls it a spiritual reckoning, the moment when pretending ends and truth begins. In her new book, The Truth Within the Lie, Dana offers what she describes as a no-fluff, fire-breathing wake-up call. It's raw, it's real, and it's rooted in the idea that everything we've been told about worth, safety, and success might actually be a lie. Through her own story of trauma, resilience, and spiritual realignment, Dana guides readers back to the universal principles that govern all creation: alignment, truth, intention, and divine timing, the energetic laws that determine how we create, love, and heal. Today, we're talking about what it really takes to burn down the old narrative, reclaim your power, and live a life that actually feels like your own. This is Dana Grant, and this is The Truth Within the Lie. Dana, thank you so much for joining me today on Misunderstood. I know we've been trying to do this for a while, so I appreciate the time.
Oh, Rachel, thanks for having me. Yeah,
of course.
I'm digging this today.
Yeah, so you have this amazing book out now called The Truth Within the Lie. What made you write this book at this point in your life?
You know, I think there was a version that I had to, that I think I identified with so many people that I was working with, that we create these stories and this alignment, and it wasn't true. Everything I had created, I had a big trauma. Not that I hadn't had a lot already. I called in a lot of chaos, a lot of betrayal, and I had kind of identified the core wound and the core fear. So that was the first. And then I started to identify it in my life and business partnerships everywhere. But then in my marriage, you know, I was closing in on a 30-year marriage and it just went ba-boom. It was big, big betrayal, big everything. And I think that through that healed version, I realized the lie I'd been living and the truth of what was really what I needed to do.
So do you mind if we get into that a little bit? I'm curious, like, sure, where you were at in your life and what you went through to be able to, because I was reading a lot of this stuff and I was like, well, what's the lie and what is the truth? And so it's helpful to hear it from you, but like, what did you have to go through to kind of come out of it and look at it from a different lens and be like, wait a minute, what am I really living with here?
Well, I think what I was really living with for the first 50 years of my life was a lot of chaos. There was just a lot of chaos. Everything I did there, it didn't align, but I didn't know that. Anything I achieved, it was really trauma driven. So nothing could be repeatable except for my bad behavior. And I had a lot of bad behavior, you know, and I didn't know what to do about it. So what I believed to be true, I got sick in my late 20s. I was working as a lobbyist and I got really sick. So I believed somewhere along the way with the specialist that the medicine was saving my life. And I think that I woke up one day in my late 40s and they were giving me 20,000. This is a great truth and lie. I'll give you an analogy there. The truth was the medicine was killing me, but I had told myself the medicine is saving me. Mm. And that was the lie. Really, the truth is the medicine was killing me. But in my mind, to keep that on board for over a decade or longer was this is saving my life. So
can I just ask a quick question on the side? Do you believe that the illness you were going through had to do with something psychosomatic, stress, chaos, or were you really sick with something?
Oh, this is a really good question because people fight me on this one all the time. Mm-hmm. And they say, I really had the symptoms. I really was sick. I really have cancer. I believe that it is real. My migraines were real. I was hospitalized 10 days a month. I was so sick. I was debilitated. And then I got to the point where I had 20,000 milligrams of Demerol I was taking a month because they couldn't do anything for me. I was off the cuff. I'd been to every specialist everywhere in the world. And this is before Imitrux even came out. There weren't the medications there are now. There was nothing they could do for me. So they said, hey, we're going to give you some quality of life. And I believed that. But it wasn't until I was brave enough to say, you know what? The truth is, this is killing me. This medicine is going to kill me. And I had 17 forms of staph in my leg that came after that. I probably would have lost my legs. Barely saved them because of the staph infections from the injections. I was underweight. I was depleted nutritionally. I was literally dying, but I didn't tell myself that. I said, oh my God, if I don't have this field, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. So I tore those up without a game plan on what I was going to do and how I was going to live. So the truth within the lie is all the lies that I told myself to survive, just to survive. Well, and the truth is they weren't true at all.
I totally understand that living with chaos. I think so many of us have done that and survived on chaos and called that back into our lives because we almost enjoy that up and down, you know, the feel like the emotions that go with the success that you get and then the failure and the success, like that kind of emotion of that up and down seems like you understand both sides of the pendulum. But if you have that chaos in your life all the time, it depletes your mind, your body, your heart. And you're also in a, in my opinion, a place of desperation. You know, you're going from thing to thing, person to person, whatever the situation is. And you are in a survival mode almost. And talking about your symptoms and your headaches, I'm somebody who also struggled with migraines for a long time, but without a plan and getting off of the Imitrex, how and finally realizing this was killing you, how did you just survive the headaches? Like, what did you do to change your physical symptoms?
You know, I think I'd already started some work and I recognized the breath work and, you know, my shoulders were like always knotted up. I couldn't move my neck most of the time. I think that I braced for the headaches. I anticipated. I didn't even know what life would be without them. So I started a different mantra, a different program. And I started running a new program. I believed I was well. I would tell myself I was well. And literally my life moved into that. Now it wasn't overnight, but the minute you claim that, and this is my book, you know, The Universal. The minute you claim that wellness, the universe comes in to support you. And I see it over and over again. I don't identify, but I used to claim that, you know, whatever we speak into existence, our life will follow. I would claim I'm a migraineur, which meant you can't count on me. I'm going to get sick at any given time. And I am really, really off the cuff sick. I don't ever identify with that anymore. You know, it's so I would lead with that. Like I'm a migraineur. You know, just like I'm a lobbyist or I'm a life mentor or I'm a psychic, whatever I speak into existence, my life is going to follow. This goes with lack and scarcity, abundance, anything. You know, we have to be the authority in our life. And my authority was, hey, married a practitioner, I'm a migraineur, and I'm going to hide most of the time because I don't want you to see me how sick I am. And then I'm going to show up and I'm going to be perfection paralysis. I'm going to scream and create chaos because I don't know anything different. And I'm the pendulum just swung back and forth.
Wow.
Debilitating, perfection. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like, I live in the middle.
Wow. Okay. So you talk in your book about, I think it was 14 universal principles in the book. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah.
You talk about vibration, forgiveness, divine oneness. Can we kind of go through some of them and explain to, like, listen, there are people that have either never heard these terms before or they think they're kind of woo-woo, right? And they kind of glaze out. So let's walk through some of them, some of your favorites that are tangible ones that we can all like be like, oh yeah, that's me. And help us understand how to find these or understand these.
Well, you know, believe it or not, whether you know about them or not, you're utilizing them every day. You're showing up and the universal laws are at play. So if you are focused on, I can't afford that, it's too much, and you're constantly in this lack and scarcity mode, your life is going to follow. So that's the universal law of abundance. What would your life look like if you spoke abundantly about your life? Which means I do a lot of modalities in the book, which means you have to root yourself, which our root chakra is our feet, our number one, and we've got to root ourselves in abundance. That means we got to upgrade our language, and our language should sound somewhere like this. I am abundant all the time. The universe is always working for me, not against me. We just change it up with little things. You know, I think,
so are you talking in terms of manifesting? Like what?
Well,
say,
manifesting, like, but you're going to utilize the universal law of abundance. But first you asked my favorites. I would say the universal law of vibration, everything vibrates. Everything has a vibration. You know, if we look at where you're vibrating, if you have joy in your life, you're up around, you know, the 700. Shame is down by 20. It's a pyramid of energy. In the middle is neutrality. You've got to put a demand on the universe, and that's universal laws, which means you've got to ask for what you want. People think, I'm not getting what I want. Well, you sure aren't. Look what you just said. I'm not getting what I want. You just spoke it into existence. So I say, upgrade your language. Pay very close attention to your words. Because I can remember what I used to say. I'm a migraineur. Oh no, I can't do that. And guess what? I couldn't for over a decade. And I think there's the core fear is probably I'm not enough for me. Mm. I'm not smart enough. I'm not enough. I'm not good
enough.
Not
worthy. Yeah.
I'm not worthy. All those. Yeah. I could a mirrored.
So okay. I feel like, did you read The Secret?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like at some point in college or whatever, we all read The Secret and we're all like, okay, I'm going to say I am going to have $1 million. It's going to happen, you know, and it ended up sort of being a joke because you were like, well, you can't really talk like that. And it's just going to happen because a lot of it is setting the intentions, right? Yeah. And you have to have some responsibility in it. So what you're talking about is interesting because I have someone who just had this conversation with me yesterday. She was somewhat in tears about how she has come away from who she used to be. She used to be making a lot of money. Her husband used to be making a lot more money. Yeah. They were abundant. They were living a good life and they took a step back for whatever reason, their choices. They decided to switch careers, whatever. And now they are living, I don't want to say the word scarcity, but it feels like that. And I think in a daily way, she feels unhappy because, and it's correlated to, let's say, money for her right now. Mm. How would someone like, and I feel like so many people I know are stuck in that place where they want to say, okay, I want to live in abundance. I want to feel happy. I want to have abundance around me so that I can feel like I could do what I want. I can make my dreams come true. I can have the things I want. But how do they really do that besides just speaking it? Like, what are those actionable things? Because I felt bad and I didn't know how to say it, but I've been in that place. I was there kind of recently where I didn't feel like I had all the things I wanted.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's the attachment. I always say, stay married to the process, which means our greatest power is the right to choose in the current moment. If I'm taking my old stories of who I was, I know who's in charge. The ego is. And my heart-centered energy, where all my movement and all my expansion is going to be, the ego is going to contract. And what did she make that mean about her life? That she stepped back. They don't have as much money. That we're broke. We don't have enough. There's scarcity. There's lack. Oh my. And then the heart starts pumping. Oh my gosh. And then the constriction. And then the ego comes in to make that mean something about you. And it's what we make it mean. And what is she? I would have said to her yesterday, hey, what do you make that mean about you? I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm never going to be enough. I'm never going to get back there. Well, the old version doesn't need you. And the version up there doesn't need you. The version that needs you is in the here and now. And that brings me to the universal law of cause and effect. What people don't understand is cause and effect. There's an effect to everything we do, but we are first cause. You must choose you over and over and over again. And then the universe vibrates. And when you speak your life into existence, if I keep saying, there's not enough, there's not enough, there's not enough, there's never going to be enough. Or if I you know, and I coach my face off about this. And I watched someone today, and just before I hopped on here, she's in Italy and she's creating this incredible retreats. A year ago, there wasn't enough. She couldn't do it. Absolutely. I mean, she was in a whole different, I'm watching the paradigm shift and I'm like, wow, do you remember when you didn't claim and now you've got the six-figure business and it's blowing up on you?
How did she do it?
She took the steps. She did the work. And that means she changed her language.
One foot in front of the other. And even those little steps, you say, oh, I can do this. I might not be able to do this.
Micro, not macro. Yeah, Rachel. Yeah. Micro, not macro. You don't do the quantum leaping. Everybody wants the quantum field. Everyone wants the abundance. But it starts with how we speak to ourselves. Just set your timer every 3 hours and drop into what your most dominant thought is. Mm. Are you attaching your life to a lot of gratitude? We're once again vibrating at a very high level. Nothing's higher than gratitude. So are you grateful about, I don't care if it's $10 in your bank account or 10,000, you know, or 100,000 or a million. Are you grateful that your bills are being paid? Are you grateful for that 10? That's what will expand. But if you are in the slack and scarcity, oh no, what am I going to do? You're back in the cycle. I call it the spin. And you go into the maze and that's where you go to the old stories because our body's storing them. And you pull out the file and you send a note down and you get the information back. And you're like, oh, I've done this before. I'm going to do it better than that I did it last time. But it's still the same outcome. So if you want a different outcome, you're going to have to, you've got to stretch. You've got to get uncomfortable. And that's on this side of the terror barrier. On this side, everything is the stories. In fact, you probably already know this statistically, that 95% of our subconscious is running the show. 95%. We're integrating every day. I make sure that I'm integrating newness. And it's just newness. That's what people are really afraid of. Your subconscious is saying, and your ego saying, I don't know that over there. Let me protect you. And at some point in your life, you may have needed that protection. God knows at some point in my life, I needed that protection against an unhealthy parent. I needed it, but now I don't need it. But the story's still playing out. I'm still showing up with the armor. In fact, Brené Brown said something brilliant recently. She said, it's not the fear that stops us. It's the armor that we keep picking back up and putting back on.
Wow. Yeah. When you were talking earlier, I got chills and it really hit home and made a lot of sense. You were talking about vibration and you were talking about high vibration and then shame is low vibration. And then there's something neutral in the middle. So are you saying we always want to be at that highest level of vibration or is neutrality okay? And is that calm? Like where are we always supposed to be?
Well, grief is low too, you know, but it doesn't mean that we don't go there. We're required to grieve over things. In fact, we should, I call it, you know, the invisible workload of even women. I'm sure men have it too, but in women, and we grieve a lot. We grieve through menopause. We grieve through we grieve through these expectations we have of ourselves, you know, so we have to learn to hold space for both grief and joy. Yeah. You know, joy is a high vibrational energy. We can't be in joyful bliss all the time, but there's no spiritual bypassing, Rachel. We have to go there. You know, this time of year, we're coming out of the year of the snake. I'm saying shed, let go like a snake. Let go of what did not work for you this year, which means we've always got to upgrade our language and say, what do I need to know? Now I don't get frightened about what's coming, anything. I just say, universe is always working for me, not against me. What do I need to know? So I ask better questions. And every day in the mirror, you ask what people could do. Wake up in the morning and say, what do you need for me today? What do you need from me today? And I get answers like, boom, okay. Whether it's rest, slow down, gear up, whatever it is, I'm listening. And then we have to take action. You know, where are people, where are they falling off the wagon? You got to hitch your wagon to it. You know, put a stake in it, hitch your wagon and giddy up. And this is the year of the horse we're going into. Yeah, it's like giddy up time. Claim it. Yeah, write out what you want. What Bruce Liston said, if you can't write out what you want, you're not going to get it. And it's the truth.
Okay. What if I told you that the idea that you only get parasites when you travel to some exotic country is flat wrong? Millions of Americans carry parasites right now, often without symptoms. For example, it's estimated that millions in the United States have been exposed to Toxocara, a parasitic worm, yet most never even know it. Parasites do not need a plane ticket. They can enter through tap water, sushi, undercooked foods, or contaminated produce. Some strains live in all stages, eggs, larvae, adults, hidden in your gut, releasing toxins that sabotage your energy and digestion. That's why I'm excited about Parify, Kim Rogers' 30-day full-spectrum parasite cleanse. The kit works by clearing parasites, worms, candida, and heavy metals, targeting parasites in all life stages, supporting gut health, detox pathways, and toxin removal. It's taken orally, daily, for 30 days with precise dosing. I'm actually doing it myself right now. I started with the lymph cleanse, then I'm doing the Parify. Want to dive deep? I did a full interview with Kim Rogers, the worm queen herself, where we expose all the myths, understand the facts, and show how to protect your body. Listen to that episode if you haven't already. Meanwhile, go to rogershood.com and use the code Rachel to get 10% off of your order. That's R-A-C-H-E-L for 10% off. Give it a try. Maybe your body's missing link is hiding inside. Let's do this together. Again, it's rogershood.com, R-O-G-E-R-S-H-O-O-D.com, and use the code Rachel for 10% off. The law of sacrifice feels really powerful. You write about how we have to release the old to receive the aligned. Yeah. Can you, can you talk about what you personally felt like you had to sacrifice?
Let's go back to the medicine. I had to sacrifice 20,000 milligrams of Demerol a month. Wow. I didn't think I was addicted. That's enough to kill an elephant, by the way, for anyone that's listening. Wow. I should have died. I shouldn't have survived it. But, you know, my body's tolerated that. And I was being called a drug addict. I was terrified. If I look back on that phase, I was terrified of life. I was terrified. You know, I think that if we look at the core wound, my core wound was safety. I didn't feel safe anywhere. So I showed up with external validation. I needed external safety. For me, that was my husband. You know, he was my rock. He was my safety. I didn't even know I was abandoning myself. I didn't even know that safety lives in here, that this is the person. I do now. I create that and I help other people create that. But it wasn't until that big shattering, you know, he lost his medical license. He went through a sexual assault trial. It was big. Oh yeah, it was big. I'm sitting here doing this and I get a message that, you know, local practitioner, you know, sexual assault charges. And I'm like, oh no.
How did you survive through that?
Well, I would sit and I would teach, and you're never going to call in anything beyond where you are. And I did that. And then I would crawl out of my chair and lay on my floor and fall apart. I mean, I absolutely took a baseball bat to my house, everything. I went crazy because my whole world shattered. And then I had three daughters that I had to explain it to that had already, they're college age, they're gone. But it's still, you know, this is our rock. This is our stability. I didn't know how to find stability in here. Yeah. I was learning how, but that was the big shattering. So I think we call all of that in to have this learned version. You know, this is the learning curve. And what I realize now that I'm in my 60s is we are never done. We're never going to arrive. We're always in this mode of expansion. We got to choose it, you know, and you said the universal law of sacrifice. I had to sacrifice the versions of me that were terrified. I had to sacrifice the versions of me that didn't think they could do it, that didn't think they were smart enough, and start claiming and being willing to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And so if you're trying to unpack the law of sacrifice for people that are listening, are we taking away, trying to get rid of things that are holding us back, or what, how do you define it to people?
Well, I look at it as like a viewmaster. You know, you have a lens over your life. Is it helping you get what you want? You know, I have someone right now who wants to get married and wants to have babies, but she's marrying someone who isn't divorced and has a vasectomy. I'm like, is that going to get you what you want? Well, no, but she's back in her comfort zone. You know, so what you...
There is a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9-to-5 where purpose and grit and the American spirit come together in the Peace Corps. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough because it asks so much of you. And the love part is knowing your hard work can transform lives and build bridges across cultures. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve. That's peacecorps.gov/serve.
Want to sacrifice.
She's accepting what is in front of her.
Yeah, accepting what's in front of me because it's going to fix it now. You know, is it the long-term pain you're avoiding or the short-term? You've got to make a choice. And your greatest power in this life is the right to choose. And that only happens in the present moment. The past choice is already done. We can learn from them or we can stay spinning them and keep trying to get a different outcome. Right. And then the future will unfold if we do the work in the here and the now.
Got it.
The cause and effect. You got to choose you, and you got to see, where am I abandoning myself? You know, if I choose someone else for safety, and we got to step back and really assess this lens and say, oh, wow, I thought that was my safety. I didn't even know. And I had no cognitive, like, I'm choosing you over me. I never thought that. Mm. I just thought this is the way it is, because that's the way it always was. I came into this world with that, but I chose to heal. And when you're on that train, you just don't get off.
Yeah. One that I love is the law of forgiveness. Can you unpack that for us? Because I feel like a lot of people struggle with forgiveness.
I think a lot of people struggle with self-forgiveness. I think that forgiveness and shame go hand in hand. You know, the shadow versions of us, there are things in my life. If I do not, I cannot be radically accountable. I couldn't have written the book. I couldn't get up on stage. I could not talk about my life like I do if I didn't forgive the versions of me that got me here. We start with self-forgiveness. You know, I go through whatever age that shows up, and man, we know what age is showing up. If I'm raging and yelling, there's my teenager showing up. Mm-hmm. And where is she hurting? Where do I need to go in there and say, you know, you did your very best. I love you. I forgive you. Thank you for getting me here. Gratitude. Thank you for getting me here. I wouldn't be here without all these messy versions of me. I don't go back and say, stay in the shadow work, shame. Don't ever show your face. You gained weight. You lost your mind. You took drugs. All these versions got me here today. So I not only forgive them, I'm so grateful for them. I'm going to up the ante, grateful for them for getting me here, because I could have died a million times.
Yeah. Yeah. Out of all the universal laws, which one is the most important, do you think?
Universal law of energy. Everything is energy. Money is energy. Everything is energy. Money follows authority. Money is just an energy. Every story that you've created in your life is just that. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself, is it true or is that a lie? Money doesn't grow on trees. Well, that's a lie. I like to plug in the word energy instead of money. I can't afford any more of that energy. Well, wait a minute. I can't afford what? I've got plenty of energy. I don't have plenty of money. Well, you do have plenty. If money is just energy, you do have plenty. The universe is as abundant as it's ever going to be. Everything is available to you right now. Everything you need is here and the now. Mm. You just have to put a claim on it, stake it, write it out. You're not going to get anything, like I said earlier. You're not going to get it unless you can visualize it and you can feel it. You just have to take the step back and stop the dialogue that you're creating, your most dominant thought. What's your most dominant thought? Mine was, don't you dare open your mouth. You're not smart enough. You didn't get that law degree. I don't know how you got where you got. This was a self-sabotage pattern. Mm. I would hit the tops and I would break records everywhere. And I'd say, who do you think you are? I didn't say that out loud. I just self-sabotaged. Mm. And then I worked my way all the way back and set records that have never been broken still. And then I'd bottom out again. And then I'd work really, really hard. That was my cycle most of my life.
Right. Right. Yeah. You talked earlier about alignment, and people use that word really loosely. How do you define alignment?
Alignment is, it's from source. If I'm aligned, that means I've stepped out of the way. My ego is in check. We don't want to kill the ego. We just want to calm it down. Mm. It means that I'm aligned to source, whether it's source, universe, God. It means that I am listening to my intuition. You don't have to be born a psychic to listen to your intuition, but we second guess. Mm. If we are not in alignment, we are second guessing, and we might be looking for external validation. Women will know this is external. Hey, does this outfit look good on me? Do I look skinny enough? Is this the right color? We ask, we want that validation. What would it be like just to show up and say, and just check it at the door and just do your very best. Mm. You chose it. Can you own it? If you chose it, can you own it and just work through that? And just maybe next time say, oh, well, you know what? I didn't like that as much, but you owned it. I think alignment is about ownership, owning what we feel.
Yeah.
And we connect it to source, and we get out of the way with the overthinking.
Yeah. Yeah. You've led retreats across Europe and coached clients, it sounds like globally. What are the most common lies that you see that people are living every day?
Oh, I think that they believe that their secrets will kill you. They believe their secrets are bigger than anyone else's. If they showed who they were, they wouldn't be enough. They would lose. Nobody would be interested. I see this over and over again. They're not worthy. If someone knew who they were, deal over. And it's just a deal breaker. And I think it's through that vulnerability that we find alignment, and we peel back and we share our stories to help others, because this is a service industry. We are not out here, but you're out here helping people with stories and peeling the layers back. This is what you do, you know?
It's so interesting. I was speaking at a keynote somewhere with a group of, I don't know, maybe there was 100 people. And it was very sort of interactive. And I was in the front. And of course, I'm already feeling a little nervous about telling my story in front of everyone. And beforehand, we had all had cocktails, and you're looking around the room and you make up stories in your head about who these people are, and they're intimidating, and they're this and they're that.
Yeah.
There was a point after I spoke, and I'm still up on the stage, and I had someone with me who was asking some questions now, emceeing, and people started to raise their hand and talk to me and ask questions. And we were talking about feeling like a discount version of yourself, right? And feeling how you might feel ashamed or something that's in the back of your head that no one else knows. And I can't tell you how many people finally stood up, shared a story. Yeah. This one guy who I was like, this guy has the whole world at his fingertips, got up and was in tears about the fact that he was dyslexic and he just felt stupid. Yeah. Anytime he walked into a room, it was in the back of his head and he couldn't function. And I was like, what? Like, how is that even a thing for him?
Yeah.
And it was so interesting that once he was vulnerable, once everyone in the room was vulnerable like that, it brought the whole room that much closer.
And he gave himself permission. He gave himself permission to share what he was frightened of.
And it wasn't, as he sat down, he realized and he said, you know, it's not as scary now. Like, you know my big secret. You know this big thing that I feel so insecure about. And now I'm not insecure about it, actually, especially in front of you guys. So I just thought it's so brilliant to realize that once you are vulnerable, like, that's what connects us. And and that's like that lie in your head. Everyone has a lie. Everyone is telling themselves something negative, and we're all the same in that way. So I think that's interesting that you brought that up.
Yeah. And it's not even, most of the negativity hasn't even come from us. It's what we perceived a teacher said or a parent said. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take much to create a story around a one-liner and make it mean something. And again, I'm going to go back to that. What do you make that mean about you? You know, I had someone, and when I was 15, I had big hips, but I was really not overweight at all. But she said, I look like a cow in these brown polyester pants. It was like the early 80s, and I thought she was really petite. And I turned to the side and I was like this thin. But man, when my hormones hit, I was just like, it was a beautiful figure, but I didn't see that. I wanted to have my hips broken in my 20s, 30s, 40s. I had an eating disorder most of my life. I wouldn't eat at all. Did that one line attribute to the migraines? Maybe that was the accumulation, but that stuck until I went back and I loved those versions. And, you know, love and compassion, I think, are the answer to everything. But if we can't have love and compassion for those versions of us that did their very best, and we shut them down and we go back there and shame them and starve them and beat them and tell them you're not good enough, would we ever show up? And you know, who says, I would never show up and say, hey, Rachel, you're just not good enough. You need to do it this way. And, you know, by the way, that we would never do that. Yeah. We would show up with this love and compassion and support because we don't view you that way, but we view ourselves that way. And I think we need to be the very best friends that we can, because there's no greater intimate relationship you're going to have with anybody than yourself.
Yeah.
And, so be loving, be kind, be generous, you know, and I think that can flip your life around.
Yeah, I agree. You talk about masculine and feminine energy balance in the book, and I'm really curious to hear you expand on that a little bit.
Well, the left-hand side of our body is our feminine side, and the right-hand side is our masculine side, our life force energy side. But if our feminine energy is blocked, I don't care whether you're male or female, we all have it. If our feminine side is not working correctly, it's our receiving side, and we need to be able to receive everything. This is an abundant universe. If you've got your receiving side shut down, and maybe you're an overworker, I can do it myself. It kind of looks like that. It shows up in the world. No one can do it quite as fast and as good as I can. Out of my way. You've shut down your receiving. So, you know, I like to look at people's bodies and I ask questions. Where are their most injuries? You know, is it the left-hand side of the body? Well, and they'll say, it's interesting. I've broken just about everything on my right-hand side, but not on my left. There's signs everywhere showing you. And when you start asking for them, you know, and you start asking, upgrading your language and asking better questions, you know, not telling yourself this narrative that's not moving the needle forward at all, not giving you the life you want, you know, and if you're stuck, if you feel stuck, people are never stuck. Your mindset might be stuck in a situation where it's the ego is taken over and it's just contracting. And this is how you know, Rachel, that you're doing it. You're dividing, separating, judging. That's ego energy. Yeah. And over here, you've got the heart energy. It's expansive. It doesn't even know what the ego's doing because it doesn't judge anything. It just keeps saying, hey, what would that look like if we did this? And so back to the feminine, you got to be able to receive. And then over here in your masculine, you got to be able to do. Mm. And that means you can't just sit here and kumbaya and manifest. You've got to show up and you got to put a stake in it and say, the universe, you got to put a demand on the universe. I want this. And then we start the task, the day-to-day. Is my day-to-day actions creating the life that I want?
Yeah.
And a lot of times people will say, I don't have the money to do that. Nope, nope, wrong, wrong. Your higher self, you look at her, how did she get there? And then you make a list. Well, she would do it this way. So I remember when I started buying first class tickets years ago. It was like, I told my assistant, I can't afford that. She was, I already purchased it. She said you wanted to stretch. And she goes, I'm doing it for you because you just keep making excuses why you don't do it. Now, I never went back. I just never went back. But see, my life just matched it. You know, we have to make the moves and the decisions. And then we put a demand on the universe and it says, hey, looks like Dana's going to fly first class now. She needs to make more money. I don't wait to make more money. And we have to be realistic, but it will match us there. And it works every single time unless we're truly thinking and we're terrified with this lack and scarcity.
Yeah, but story. I want to get into that for a second. We had a guest on the show like a year ago who talked about that. And she talked about how she went in and bought a G-Wagon or whatever. Yeah. And it was like a souped up version. It was like $300,000. She's like, well, I couldn't afford it. But like, you got to show up with a certain look to hang with these people, to be that person, to tell you, to manifest, this is what I deserve. And as she's talking, I'm thinking, if she couldn't afford it, like, what if she had to eat ramen for 2 years just so she could afford this truck? Like, that doesn't seem smart. Well, so like, walk me through how that works.
Well, the true manifesting process, if you truly are vibrating, and so this, I got my own story there. 5 years ago, I, on December 31st, which was my dad's birthday, signs just coming everywhere with guidance. I drive to the Range Rover dealership and I buy a new Defender and I love it. I put Rove Free on my license plate. I drive it home brand new. But my story was, and we talked a little bit about my grandmother in Calistoga because you live, and you know, here she was a huge real estate mogul, you know, in California. And it just, she said, you buy real estate, you do not invest in new cars. Mm-hmm. So my story was you never ever buy a new car. So I would buy cars with 30,000 miles. I wanted a new car. Now, if I looked at my bank account, I don't know what I had in there, 350,000. I'm not sure. Should have been investing. Should have been. So the shoulda came in. Shoulda, coulda, what? Mm-hmm. I should be doing this. I should buy some property. What am I doing not owning property? I didn't want to own property in California. I was going through getting rid of things. I didn't, but I wanted that car. The minute I made the decision to buy that car, everything flipped. I mean, I made $500,000 like that because I gave myself permission to buy it. I wanted it. I could afford it. It wasn't as if, but I could, the stories would have told me you can't afford that because the story was you never buy a new car. You, even if you have everything you want.
Right.
But her stories didn't work for me anymore. She also would say money doesn't grow on trees. And it actually does. And it does grow on trees. And, you know, so all those stories, we accumulate those and we take our stories and we apply it to our future where all your power is right here. So if I'm going to set that up, I better be ready to like rock and roll, you know, which means that I'm going to claim that. I don't go back into lack and scarcity. Why did I do this? Oh my God, I can't afford this. Nope. You're right back in the old mindset. It's I'm abundant and the universe is going to show up and match my vibrational energy. So it gets a little tricky there, but you've got some steps you've got to do.
Right. And it's also like fake it a little bit till you make it. Like if you want to be in real estate or whatever it is, and you cannot be driving around in your beat up Honda. No one's going to buy a house from you. So you show up in your Range Rover, you put on your nice outfit. You can't drive around in a Range Rover in your pajamas all day. Like,
you gotta believe it.
Yeah.
You got to show up and you got to work it. You can't just drive it in your driveway and sit there and spin and say, oh my God, why did I do that? And then they come and you're like, oh my God, it got repoed. Well, yeah, because you sat there and you panicked. Your vibration was like this. Oh no, oh no, oh no. And fear-based. We got to make it, abundance doesn't come from fear-based decisions. But you know, making new decisions can be frightening, but it's only the newness of it. We have to identify. Yeah. You know, we got to be detectives in our own life. What am I really frightened of? Am I frightened of, I'm really frightened about the old stories coming. We got to just, you know, and I think that we can be, if we give ourselves permission, you know, to look at our life and see, what have I done that I love this year? Let's break it down. What have I done that I love this year? Where has been the most joyful moments? I walked the Camino. It was freaking joyful. I didn't even care how much I spent. It was like the best 6 weeks ever. Then I met my daughter in Spain and then went to Mallorca and floated around the sea. It was magical. Yeah. I don't think about the money I spent, how much I put on credit cards, because I live in an abundant universe. Everything's available to me. I will attract, if I stay in that mindset, not reckless, but I stay in that mindset of building, but we have to drop in and enjoy and be joyful about our life. We can't always be in work mode. It doesn't work.
And did you say that this all happened, that date was December 31st?
Yeah.
That's the night I'm getting married this year. Just thought I would throw that out to you. How funny is that?
And did I say, well, you know, there are no coincidences. There just aren't any coincidences. Yeah, that was my dad's dad's birthday. And it's a big, you know, it's a big manifesting day. It's the end of the year. You're going into a new year. But I had guidance. So I love the fact you're getting married on that.
Yeah, thank you.
And you know, and I'll up the ante on December 31st this year. I am flying to host my daughter's baby shower. I'm leaving on December 31st. Oh. She is in Florida.
Amazing. Congratulations. Yeah. That is very exciting.
It's a first. Yeah.
All right. Just a couple more questions. You said your mission is to ignite the soul potential in everyone you meet. What's the biggest spark you hope that this book ignites in people?
That everyone realizes that they deserve to deeply heal and love themselves, that abundance is available to them, that they can start challenging the stories and they don't have to make people wrong. Mm-hmm. I just want them to take ownership. And I believe that everyone has genius in them. Everyone I meet, I look at them and my first question is, where's your genius? I can see your genius. I see it. And you know, and people think, oh, you've got an edge on everyone because you're a psychic. Well, I hated that most of my life. In fact, anything I would say, you're such a freak, don't open your mouth. Don't open your mouth, you're such a freak. That went on for years. And then I was told like I couldn't believe in God and do that. So I was in such conflict. Give yourself permission to step out of conflict. Give yourself permission to love yourself. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated. There is an easy way and a hard way. We do it the hard way. I know the hard way. But oftentimes people won't choose the easy way because they're not familiar with it. Yeah. And they think, oh, I mean, how many times have we heard this? You know, Betty Crocker came out with a cake mix, I don't know, 40s, 50s, 30s, before our time. And it was just add water. And it was a delicious cake. Mm-hmm. But it didn't sell. It flopped. And they came back to the drawing table. They said, what did we do wrong? Too easy. People like it hard. They add three eggs, a fourth a cup of oil, and a fourth a cup of water. Boom. Bestseller ever since. Never, ever off. I mean, off the cuff. It still sells number one. We had to make it a little harder. Doesn't need that. But we like to feel like we're doing something. People do not like to be still. This time of year, I am being still. I am paying attention to what comes up. Where am I at? What's my body serving up right now? Where were my wins? Where were my struggles? I'm assessing. We have to be a master assessor of our own life.
I love
not
that.
Not judger, but assessor and say this, and then write out this work for me. This is what I want. And then how am I going to get that? We don't have to know how. Like I say, married to the process, divorce the outcome. We always think this is where people get hung up. They try to figure out, well, what is that going to look like if I do that? No, trust. Trust in the universe. You know, I've got the sign behind me. Trust the process. In fact, that's what my book was going to be called. Trust the process for 3 years. And then it kind of morphed into The Truth Within the Lie because I realized we lie to ourselves in order to stay safe.
Yeah.
And the truth is safety lives within us, not externally. We're never going to find it out there.
Right. Right.
It's like a matrix.
For people listening, what are three really quick takeaways they can have right now to start finding their truth and getting out of the lie?
Set a timer on your phone right now. I'm just intuitively going with this. I had nothing planned. Set a timer on your phone right now for an hour. And when that goes off, ask yourself, what's my most dominant thought? You know, the subconscious is playing out and you don't even realize it's running your day. I want them to be a little more aware of what they're doing. And are they doing it subconscious? They're going to say, oh, I didn't even know I was thinking about that. But you know, that's probably running about, it's running your program of the day. People want a different life, but they don't know how to do it. And it's about challenging those stories. Do I even believe that's true? No, I don't even know where that came from. And challenge that and then do one thing. You know, if I'm flying a plane and I'm off by 1 degree, I'm 360 miles off my trajectory, which means I'm not landing in Hawaii. I'm in the middle of the ocean. Mm-hmm. 1 degree, do one thing that you can do today. And people say, I don't know what to do. One small task does not have to be macro, just micro. One small thing you can do today. And then apply some gratitude. Be grateful for the versions of you that got you here. look at your life and don't shame yourself and say you're not enough or look at the way I'm living and stop comparing yourself to others. Stay in your own lane and be really assess your life and look at all the good things you've done and be really grateful that you're here.
I love it. Finish this sentence. The truth within the lie is.
The truth within the lie is the stories that we've created to protect ourselves.
Love it. Tell people where they can come hear you speak, get your book, all the things. Do you do one-on-ones with people?
I do. I still okay. do because I'm really aligned with that. You know, it's I'm not giving it up for next year. I have a mastermind, the Abundance Architect, coming out the first part of the year. I don't know where I am. I'm speaking in a lot of places. I'd have to look at that. But they could just come to, I like to hang out on Instagram. They can come find me on Instagram, The Real Dana Grant. People always ask me, do you coach housewives? And I'm like, I do, but I do. But I came up with The Real Dana Grant prior to that. You know, it was because I got hijacked and somebody put Dana Grant. So they can find me there. That's where I hang out. But any platform, and it's danagrant.com. Just connect. I always answer my messages. If something intrigued them or they want to know more, I'm happy to answer.
Amazing. And The Truth Within the Lie is available where?
On Amazon. It's available everywhere. Bookstores. It's hitting bookstores in January. So on Amazon right now. And then the audio will be out in about 4 weeks.
Amazing. This has been very insightful and inspirational. I wish you the best of luck with your book. It was such a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, Rachel, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.